Hey everybody, this is Wade with Wade for Wireless, and this week, I know I've been talking about unions here, or I was for a while. I got busy at IWCE, and I'm always talking tower safety and small cell deployment. Deploy, deploy, deploy. Talking about wireless deployment efficiencies anyway. Today I had somebody on that is planning to start a tower climbers union, and his name is Bryce Mallory. And Bryce is very vocal in the tower industry. And what he's trying to do is he has a couple Facebook groups. And he also is he has a YouTube channel, and he puts stuff out there about tower climber safety, trying to get people to unite. He's a big supporter of the Hubble Foundation, and which in this industry, I think most people are. So with all that, who he's not a supporter of is a lot of the organizations. He's a little disappointed in OSHA, which he talks about, and he's a little disappointed with Nate. A little is an understatement. He's not very happy with Nate. But with that said, it's all in the interview. But I want to talk about unionization in the industry. It's something a lot of people, whether you love it or hate it, I notice a lot of the people that hate it look at the history of unions, or they look at the current state of unions and what they're dealing with. And I get it. You know, I know what you're saying. I see a lot of the problems out there. So with all that said, I think the reason they're calling, he'll explain his reasons for starting a union in the tower industry, or why he's one of many. I talked to a few people that want to get something going. And there are union workers in the tower industry, just to be clear. You have people that are in the Iron Workers Union, people that are in the IBEW, and I'm assuming CWA, but I don't know, the Communication Workers of America. I think those are mostly more the engineers and the broadcasters. But with all that, I don't know any in the CWA. I know people in the Iron Workers Union, Tower Climbers in the, Iron Workers Union. I know Tower Climbers in the IBEW, and a lot of it depends on your local chapter as to what they'll do. And I reached out to both these groups. None of them got back to me, so I don't know what they're doing. Of course, why would they? Wade who? That's what they were saying. So with all that said, the reason a lot of these workers want to do the unions is because they feel they're not being treated fairly. They feel that depending on the company, there's a lot of safety issues. And they think that they could probably have a better shake if they were part of a union. And I know a lot of guys in the IBEW pretty well. And the IBEW does treat them pretty well. It does track the training. It does track the certifications. They offer training as well. Specific to tower climbing, maybe, maybe not. But they do offer, you know, safety and rescue and CPR. So, and this is a long interview. I'm going to break it into two parts. It's just, I only have so much memory on each one. So, with all that said, the pros for union are what I just said. That's why guys want a union. The people against it, obviously, if you're a business owner or you think you're going to pay more, you may or may not. That's a wash, I think, in today's world. And the reason I say that, because a lot of cities have prevailing rate. Prevailing rate means you get paid union wages whether you're union or not. And if you're wondering what cities, the ones off the top of my head, New York City, Philadelphia, I think Wilmington, Delaware, Baltimore, I think has it. Maybe Washington, D.C. Depends what part of D.C. and who you work for. And that's another thing. Depends on the customer. But I won't get into that right now. That's another issue. The other thing, they're afraid the tower workers will go on strike. Obviously, that's a big fear. But the cons against the union are because of the way unions are perceived now. You know, you have a lot of government workers union, the auto workers union, that tend to, you know, they seem to have hurt these industries. And another thing against the tower climbers, it's not like you have a lot of tower climbers that work for a big company. Like with the auto workers, you had GM and Ford, right? Two huge companies, and Chrysler at the time. They were huge. And they, I don't know what they're doing now. But anyways, it was very clear you had the union against corporate, right? Well, the tower industry is not like that. Most of these tower companies have, you know, maybe anywhere between 2 and 10 tower workers on their staff. A lot of these companies split up the tower workers away from the other company. They create another entity or an LLC or something like that because, one, it's a high-risk business. Two, the insurance is insane. And three, they just try to keep it regulated differently. The safety and all that is different for these, for the tower hands, for the tower workers. So with all that said, that it would be very difficult to unionize them, but yet there's still a lot of talk in the industry, and there are union workers in the industry. And these union workers in the industry, it isn't like they work for big corporations. A lot of them work for electrical companies, companies that did communications and electrical wiring that just happened to add tower climbing because their customers wanted tower climbers. They aren't necessarily large companies, maybe 20, 30, 40 employees. You know, they're not very small where they're three or four employees, but they're larger, you know, 20, let's say 20 and up, over 20 employees. So it does make a difference. In this case, size matters, okay? Size matters in this case, I think. But Bryce doesn't seem to think so. He thinks he can sit down with these companies that have, you know, four tower hands, eight tower hands, and he thinks he can, work a better deal for them. I think if you've done tower climbing, you get it. I think even these tower owners, these companies that run tower crews that have done it, they get it. You have the bigger companies, like I know when you read about TireApp or Nate, you have Bechtel, you have MasTec, you have those companies in there that, who knows, you know, management may or may not have climbed towers. You don't know. And I get it. It's a bigger company. It's run differently. And I think MasTec had to lay a lot of people off, and I don't personally blame them. I get it. If you worked for them, it would suck. No, I don't like to get laid off. Certainly don't want to get laid off. But the reality is, you know, they were gearing up for one big customer, specifically AT&T. AT&T changed its direction and said, you know, we don't want to do that. They put them through the ringer, and you deal with this with carriers all the time. They, like when you do RFPs or you're trying to plan work or plan features or something like that, and you're trying to do things for them, and then they do a change of direction. And for the industry, it's really hard because they gear up based around what these customers say. And then when the customer changes their mind, a large corporation like AT&T or Verizon Wireless or even Sprint or T-Mobile, when they change their mind, it affects business and it puts people in work or out of work. I'm not going to say one way or the other, because when they decide to do a large build, when they did these auctions recently, that means a lot of work for the industry. So I get it. You know, AT&T made a business decision and it really hurt a lot of people, but I get it. You know, they're out to make a profit, because if you're a shareholder, you really don't care whether a guy gets laid off at MasTec, right? You just care that your stock goes up. And that's what AT&T was doing, looking after its own best interest. Well, anyways, I've droned on about that long enough, so let's get to the interview. Sorry, I'm screaming here today. And more about Bryce Mallory, as he is starting a union. I have his contact information in the blog, but it's he's starting the Union of Tower Hands, is what he wants to call it. He has a fundraiser he's kicking off. I didn't get a link yet. When I get a link, I'll post it. And his number is 317-401-0265, if you want to call him. His email address is uniontowerhands@gmail.com. That's hands, plural. H-A. I'll spell it out. UNIONTOWERHANDS@gmail.com. I'll have it all in the blog. So take a minute, look at the blog, listen to this. I'm putting this out there because, you know, a lot of people think that the unions still talk, but now you have people taking action, okay? And I just know for a fact it's more than one group. There are several groups out there working to unionize tower climbers. The ones who don't seem interested nationally are the Iron Workers Union, and as far as I know, the IBEW has shown very little interest in reaching out to tower climbers and unionizing. They just want the tower workers to come to them, which is a lazy man's approach, in my opinion. So with all that said, let's get into the interview, all right?
Hey, Bryce, how you doing? Appreciate you taking the time today on a Sunday morning, early. I know it's early, so I do appreciate the time today. And I think this is one thing, the unions are one thing that we talk about in the tower industry. And whether you're pro-union or anti-union, there's a lot of climbers out there that I think just feel that they could be better represented than they are now. And
absolutely.
It's something that a lot of people, I think, until you've worked in the industry, you really don't understand all the hardships that they go through. So I didn't know if do you want to say something before we get started? We'll start talking about, like, what I'd really like to start with is, How do you feel the union would help the industry, and what changes do you think the union will bring about?
How will the union help the industry? Well, I guess first we got to take a look at what's wrong with the industry, and it's all matters of varying opinions. But if you take surveys along the line, there'd be a lot of parallels from everybody's conversations. Paychecks being stolen, pay rates being adjusted at will. No standardization for pay. Basically, even though I'll admit, for what they have to work with, there are companies out there that treat guys in a general sense fairly. But there are other companies that don't. And while I'd love to give a high five to the companies that are doing great, the actions and behaviors and the devastation caused by other companies warrants what I believe to be extreme action. And the solution that I'm offering, but that'd be incorrect. If you'll notice that when I use the term, when I refer to the Union of Tower Hands and I talk about it, I use definitive terms. When we unionize. I have been through about a decade and a half of the industry, and I know that the words that I speak, my thoughts, my feelings, they're not just held by me. I know that, you know, with my video it will resonate amongst a lot of the tower hands because they've also experienced it. And even if not the tragedy of fatality, they know at least a guy who was homeboys with somebody. I mean, it's that close in our industry. So
it is a small industry, and it does seem like a lot of people know a lot of people. You know, you don't know everybody, but yeah, it's almost like a family.
It definitively is a family. And with the mobile devices that we're able to talk on and with internet capability on it, it's just like it's brought the nation closer, it's brought the industry closer. And I know that with the terms of brotherhood, a lot of people think that it's waning off, but with the unionization that's getting ready to happen, I think it's going to strengthen it in a way that we haven't experienced since probably before I was even in the industry. But how will it solve it? With unionization, with exercising of collective bargaining, all of us together as a united body will be a very powerful force. We'll be able to negotiate, you know, collective bargaining agreements with companies and set forth standards for what guys should get paid, for how they should be treated, to develop a uniform national safety standard that will be implemented by us. And with every company that will sign this agreement, which will be every company in the country, they're then held accountable. They're held accountable to us and what we have had them agree to. A lot of the old ways will go out the window.
So as far as the unions go, like what I've seen in the past, you know, I've worked with a lot of guys that were in the IBEW, and I've talked to a lot of guys that were in the Iron Workers Union. I don't know any climbers that are in the CWA, but with those guys, with IBEW especially, what I liked about the union is that the union, you know, they're very organized as far as training, as far as maintaining certifications, and they just seem to really have their act together as far as keeping things organized for the individual. In other words, they offered a lot of training, like CPR training, first aid training. Then they also structured training for climbing. They made sure that they had their certs. They made sure their certs were up to date. They kept everything on file. So you could go to the union hall and pull anything for any climber that worked out of that union hall. They had all the information, which I like. I think it's good because it sets a standard for the union. The union expects if you're going to climb, you have to have this, 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 and this. It's just like the electricians. If you're going to be an apprentice, you have to go through this many years of training and apprenticeship, and you also have to take classes. Then once you're a licensed electrician, then they expect you to keep up your license. You need to keep that paperwork in the hall if it runs late. So do you see that, like with the Union of the Tower Climbers, keeping
absolutely
all certifications and training up to date?
Absolutely. And with what we have out there right now, I mean, as far as, you know, Gravitech, Comtrain, and not to say that these courses aren't good for what they are, but none of them are a legitimate comprehensive course. When I was at Nate last year, I spoke with I made it a point to speak with the trainers of, you know, like Bluestream, Bechtel, the companies that have put $10-20 million in training courses, and I kind of strung them along in the conversation, each group in their own turn, and I was like, wow, you know, you guys spent all this money to develop this training course to, you know, prep the guys before going out into the field, and as they dotted on themselves and their courses, I asked them at the end of the conversation, does your course make a tower hand? And not one of them was able to tell me yes. So what they've done with their courses is they've incorporated a couple of different individual certifications, and they've tailor-made it to train these guys on the scope of work that they're performing, not as much so making a well-rounded tower hand, which is a lot more inclusive than just teaching them how to weatherproof and shooting them through a Comtrain glass. So what I envision for our union is a comprehensive course. At the end of the course, no matter which area it is that they decide that they want to pursue for their career path in the industry, they've had the exposure to enough other components to where even when they run into unique situations that aren't in their specialty area, they'll be familiarized enough to be able to deal with those situations as they come about.
You know, Nate, the offshoot of Nate, I'd say offshoot.
Nate, sorry. Yeah.
Well, we got the other organization, the National Wireless Safety Association, the NWSA, that's coming up with the training standards that they're going to have for the climbers nationwide. I mean, what do you think about that? I mean, it's setting a standard for, say, the tower techs. You know, I think you'll have a tower tech 1 and a tower tech 2 and a foreman and certifications for different parts of the tower industry. What do you think of that?
So you're talking about Nate's nationwide safety program that they're developing?
Yeah, they're actually going to have testing facilities nationwide.
I don't, you know what? I don't trust it at all. I don't want anything to do with it, because since it's developed by these companies are the same ones that, how do I put this? There are individual companies that might be okay within Nate, but collectively as a body, a lot of people aren't familiar with what Nate is. They're an association of companies that have their own agenda, and it's not for the climbers. They don't sit around amongst their round tables in their suits and ties and discuss every day how they can enrich the lives of the tower hands. They talk about their money. They talk about their business connections. That's what the Nate Convention is every year. It's for people to shake hands and drink after the convention and make the real business deals. So with their money being invested into the safety course, I don't see how anybody couldn't think that they'd be predispositioned to make decisions and tailor make the safety program to reflect their financial interest and not always what is right. Because when you're on a site and you're telling the company that they got to drop $1,000, $2,000, $3,000 to mobilize a crane with a man basket, if it's depending on the situation, or a man lift, not every company wants to front that out. And none of them want to make a call to the carrier and say, it's going to be another day. More times than not, they'll turn the pressure up and say, you guys, you just got to do it.
Yeah.
So I don't think that a training program written by Nate would be even close to what we would need. And what we need is one written by our own climbers. I'm not saying that they don't have any climbers that are writing that course, but they're the writers of the safety standards that they're making is being paid for with their money. And sometimes money influences other people's decisions.
Well, we'll have to wait till we see the certification from that, but I'm getting off point. Sorry. I'll bring it back. So,
no, on that, I'm not saying that there isn't anything positive, anything relevant in the safety standards that they've written. I'm not saying that components of that could not be taken out and pasted onto one of ours. But I'm saying collectively as a whole, we need, our union needs to make our own.
Well, I got to be honest with you. I'm just happy to see a standard set in the industry. And for the reasons you said, because there's so many training companies out there. I think Nate doing this, you know, and they're going to have people from the tower industry do it, from what I'm told. I do think we need a standard. I think it'll be good to standardize at least some of the training in the industry. So I see it as a good thing. But I want to get back to the union. So you've given yourself 18 months here. Do you think you can do it? You think you can really gather up? What support do you have? Like, what tower climbers, what money to hit the 18-month deadline? That's a tough deadline for something like this. Because, you know, obviously it'll take years till you get everybody in. But you think you can actually get organized in that time?
All right, there's a couple of different questions in there, and I'm gonna answer them all in turn. All right, let's see. First off, the 18-month deadline. With the way that I'm going about this, it's going to be, as far as I understand with the histories of unions, nobody's ever slept nationwide with the way that I'm planning. There's two reasons I know it would be that it will be a complete success. I know my brothers and sisters, as well as I would know a family member that I grew up with. For the years I've spent with all of them, we're all tired. We're all tired of the deaths. We're all tired of the fatalities getting swept under the rug, gag orders being signed while people are making everything. I could go on and on, but everybody is just tired and ready. And they're ready for a change, and I'm creating a rallying point. And with that rallying point, I'm putting what the rest of the nation, and hell, even the companies are going to think it is an impossible deadline, but they forget who it is that we're talking about. The tower hands in this nation they're tasked with the impossible just as a normal aspect of their job. So even with that normal aspect, even four tower hands, they're still given completely impossible situations. And most, about every tower hand I know, as soon as you drop something crazy and insane on the table and say, you know, it's probably not even feasible, but do you think you can do it? And they'll say, hell yeah, I'll get it done. And they will. So with this impossible, with this 18-month deadline, it's going to help fuel the sense of urgency even more so than what it has been before. We need to get it. We need to catch this momentum right now where it's at, the atmosphere that the industry is in, and monopolize on it and not plan out to take a slow walk approach of doing this in 20 years. We are going to do this overnight.
So what's your plan of attack? Because you're going to have to organize all the tower hands in the industry, and, you know, obviously it's a huge geographical area. It's a big country.
Now as far as help, assistance, and all those stuff, I've been working on this for a while, and with my contacts with people I consider peers in the industry are the same ones that if I were to name drop and run down through a list of names, would be easily recognizable to others in the industry as pillars and advocates for climbers. And in preparation for this, I mean, I've had many discussions with them, and I know who's ready to get on board and give the sacrifices to be able to make this change. So I'll be setting up a couple of different staffs. One will be looking into making our own national safety standard. A second staff will be tasked with creating a transition test for when the climbers go from non-union to union. And the testing is going to be several different categories written by the best in the industry, stating that if you're at a particular level and you test out right here, this is what you are. And then from here, these are the courses and this is the training that you need in order to go down the career path you're at and in order to move up the line in responsibility and, you know, commensurate that would be pay. another's on the another staff is going to be on the organizational end. I identifying companies which, without breaking a little bit of operational security, and explaining the exact house just right now, I'll be using the climbers to help identify with the companies. Identify the companies, the total number of employees, to know where we're going and to know where we need the votes. Where are all these companies at? There's not a definitive number on how many tower climbers are in the industry right now, and I put that on the companies, a lot of them for not being honest and reporting who they are, some being fly by night. So locating all the companies has been an ordeal for a lot of people trying to get it just the total of the climbers. With this, I think that not only will it help us, will it give us what we need to identify the companies to get them unionized, but it'll probably shock everybody when they see what the true total count is.
Yeah, I'm curious about that. How many people, do you have a rough idea, how many people are you talking to right now? I don't want names, just a number.
I would say the total number that I've talked to as far as bringing at the inception of this.
Yeah.
I would say well over 36.
Okay. Do you think go ahead.
Oh, now from those, how many would I actually bring on to begin with? I'd like to say all of them. But that brings me to another thing. I mean, this is a fight, but it's not going to be handed to us. A majority of the people out there, they want at least, everybody wants a change. I believe the majority of the people out there want a unionization. But they don't want to go the old school conventional approach and all of them stand outside of their companies with picket signs.
Yeah.
I'm here to tell you that you ain't going to be standing out in front of the office with a picket sign. I've got a lot more tactful approach in mind.
But how do you think those climbers you have, like, you think they'll be willing to donate? I mean, that's another thing. You'll get climbers.
As far as the staff bringing on, donating their time as much as possible, yes. Now, as far as the fight for the unionization, it is going to cost money. It absolutely is going to cost money, and Nate ain't going to write me a check. I'd burn it if they did. I don't expect anybody else to care about our fight more than we do. Nobody on this planet wants change in the tower industry more than the tower hand. So yes, I'm going to be. I've created a GoFundMe account. I'm sorry, not GoFundMe, a CrowdRise account. The links are attached to the video and all the messages with the video. I'm not asking everybody to sign me over a mortgage. But if you've ever been done wrong in the industry, if you've ever sat and thought, man, there's got to be a way that we can get rid of this, shoot me $20. Shoot me $50. Whatever it is that you can, and I know that there's always people online, in real life, everybody hurts. Everybody needs money. And sometimes it's hard when you're a tower hand and you make good money. It just seems like there's never enough of it.
So,
outside the Hubble Foundation, I couldn't think of a better cause than this.
Yeah. Yeah, Hubble's awesome. They do a lot for climbers. So, one thing about 2015... not exactly a booming year. It's a little slow. Hopefully 2016 it'll pick up, but which it will. But so a lot of tower hands get laid off. I mean, that's another thing. When they hear unions, are afraid they might get laid off. I mean, what do you think about that? Should it be a concern? Should these climbers, it's always a concern, right? Because you never know how the workload is going to go. But if they unionize, is that going to lead to longer layoff periods? What's going to happen, you think? What's your opinion?
When we do unionize, will there ever be layoffs? Yeah, there's a possibility. Absolutely. That comes with being union. But just as right now, as the industry is slow and there's people that just don't have a job, it'd be a little bit different when you're on a layoff with the union. So the concerns, I don't think, should necessarily be as much with with layoffs as far as sacrifice. So for me, with the unionization, if we can stop burying our own, and I got to go on layoff for a month out of a year, fine, I'll go on a layoff. It's worth that to me. For many others, it's worth that to them too. It's just that not all of them are they analyze different components, not seeing as a whole. In the whole picture, it's going to be the industry is going to change almost overnight because of this, because of what we're doing. It's going to have it's going to be a hell of a ride. But once the dust is settled, I foresee the sacrifices being minimal in comparison with what we'll get in return. So as they're thinking about the layoffs, these lives that will be saved could be theirs.
Well, that's one thing, you know. So the end game here, you want to make the industry as safe as possible, right?
I plan on killing about 5 or 6 birds with one stone. It's going to make the industry a safer place. It's going to take the driver's wheel away from the companies in a couple of different respects. Because as of right now, there is no accountability for any company out there. And anybody that thinks that they're working for an employer and the employer is doing them square, that they're taking care of them, while that might be true right now, they need to ask themselves, what would they do if the company decided they wasn't going to treat them square no more? Who would they call?
It's something to think about. But I want you to think about one more thing. You know, I put out a lot of information asking people about unions. And one of the first things I get back from, you know, the general public, let's say, there's people that are pro-union and anti-union. And there's some that are in between, but not many. So, like, when the public sees this, I mean, I know it's up to the climbers, it's up to the tower workers, but I mean, are you worried about what the perception is going to be when people see it, like just reading about it? And, you know, are they going to say, oh, another union? Or are they going to say, well, that's something the industry really needed? And I guess it depends which side you're on as to how you react, but I mean, are you worried about that?
You know, if I were to be able to give the entire nation right now my insight on what they should be thinking and feeling, they should be thinking and feeling that this is democracy at its finest. That even though the people and it, even though the big guy is able to bully around the little guy just because he feels like it, we live in a democracy where the little guy can band together with other little guys and they can stand up to these big companies and say, no, no more. You've been out of line. We are now writing in, we are now writing on a contract for you to sign, and it's binding now. Even if OSHA won't take care of this, even if the Better Business Bureau, the Department of Labor, and all these other people that climbers reach out for assistance when companies do bad, even if nobody else will help, the union will be able to step up for them. So democracy in action. The little guy finally getting a fair shake when he normally wouldn't,